Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we share our expert advice and all of our sexual wisdom so you can become the most sexually literate person you know. And you might have a good orgasm along the way. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com for our full podcast archive. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our free mini courses at pleasuremechanics.com/free so we can deliver our best advice and favorite podcast episodes straight to your inbox. You can also check out our online multimedia courses when you are ready to master new erotic skills like couples massage or foreplay, or maybe even a little erotic spanking. Check out all of the courses at pleasuremechanics.com and don't forget to use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the course of your choice. On today's episode, we're going to be sharing one of our favorite frameworks, our favorite theories about human sexuality that really sheds a lot of light on individual sexual experience and how couples can sync up their sexual experience a little bit better. I was reminded of this theory from one of the emails we received from a listener, and Charlotte's going to kick us off by reading that email.
Jim writes, I believe my communication and connection with my wife during sexual activity would be better if we looked into each other's eyes. I keep my eyes open because my wife looks so desirable and beautiful to me, and I would like to be able to read her reactions to my lovemaking. The difficulty is that she keeps her eyes closed, especially when I'm penetrating her. I ask her to look at me, and she will, but only briefly, and then she closes her eyes again. Sometimes I wonder if she is fantasizing about someone else being inside her. I don't really mind if she is fantasizing, but I don't want her to take away from being fully present as we make love. Any words of wisdom?
All right, let's unleash the wisdom. So there's a simple answer to this question that's about eye gazing and being present during sex and whether or not fantasizing about other people or fantasizing at all takes you away from the sex you're having. But we've talked about some of that before, and I don't actually think that's the issue here. Underneath this question, the question that Jim didn't have the vocabulary to ask is, what dimension of human sexual response are we operating in? And what is our depth of involvement? What I'm referring to is an article that came out in 1980, written by Donald Mosier, called The Three Dimensions of Depth of Involvement in Human Sexual Response. And in this article that was published in the Journal of Sex Research, Mosier lays out a philosophy, a theory, a framework about sexuality that he hoped would become a new standard for sex therapy and psychotherapy, but it never really got a lot of momentum. And so it's been a little bit lost in the history of sexology. And I was exposed to it through my sexological bodywork training with Joseph Kramer, and I continue to come back to it again and again because I think it explains one of the dynamics about sex that doesn't often get talked about. And that's where your focus is, what your intention is when you're having sex. And what I see in this question is that Jim and his wife are in two different modes of sex, and therefore they're not connecting, and he feels this disconnect. So let me lay out this theory, this framework, and we'll see if we can pull apart Jim's situation and reveal something for you, dear listener, about your own sexual motivations that might enable you to have better sex, deeper sex, more connected sex with your partner. I think this is a really, really useful framework. Okay. Here it goes. So Mosier talks about sexual pleasure as the combination of stimulation on your body and the subjective experience of that stimulation as excitement and or joy. And this is a different wording of what we've talked about with the brakes and the gas, the dual model of arousal, that it's not just about what's happening to your nerve endings. A lot of arousal takes place in the brain and with the brain's interpretation of that stimulation. sex is very context dependent. So if someone tickles you and you're in a bad mood, it'll feel annoying. If you're cuddling and feeling playful and they do that same exact tickle motion, it'll feel loving and enjoyable. Sex is the same way. So much happens with our emotional, subjective response to stimulation. And one way to think about how much you can enjoy sex, how far you can go with sex, how fulfilling it is the depth of involvement. Meaning, is it just sex and you're kind of distracted and you can take it and leave it? Or is it the kind of sex that is totally absorbing your consciousness and it feels like your entire world for that moment and it leaves you feeling totally fulfilled? That's a function of depth of involvement. And Mosier says that the depth of involvement is in one of three dimensions: sexual role enactment, sexual trance, or engagement with your sex partner, partner engagement. Okay, so we've got the stimulation, we've got your subjective emotional reaction to that, and we have how deep you're going into that pleasure, into the excitement and the joy. These three dimensions turn out to be really useful lenses to look at different kinds of sex. So back to Jim's question, he's looking for partner engagement. He wants to connect with his wife. He wants to look her in the eyes. He wants to take in her specific beauty and have a deeper, connected, communicative sexual experience. He's in partner engagement, or perhaps role enactment, but we'll get to that. She's going into erotic trance. Her eyes are closed. She's focused on the sensations inward, and opening her eyes and making eye contact is distracting her from the sexual experience. So what's happening here, and this is super common, is that the two partners are in different dimensions, therefore not connecting.
And you're wondering if she is thinking about someone else that's penetrating her, and the likelihood is that she is deeply focusing on the sensations of you penetrating her. She's closing her eyes to deepen into the feelings of what's happening between the two of you.
A good way to think about this is the experience of receiving oral sex. Erotic trance is an experience that a lot of people crave, and one of the ways we have access to it is through oral sex, because it's a one-way sexual exchange. And a lot of people love just kicking back, closing their eyes, and receiving oral sex, and going deep into that experience. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to reciprocate in that moment. You don't have to look at your partner in the eye. You can just focus on the sensations. And that feeling of kind of floating away on the sensations of oral sex, that's erotic trance. All right, I'm going to break down these three dimensions. And as I do, see if you can identify your preferred modes of engagement and place different sexual experiences you've had within one of these three buckets. So partner engagement is the Hollywood romantic style of sex that we often see depicted, where it's about an I-thou connection with that specific partner. So it's about merging with an individual. It's about expressing your romantic love. And it has a lot of eye gazing, cuddling, kissing, face-to-face contact. You're affectionate. You're mutually pleasuring one another. You have kind of a romantic narrative about it of, oh, I love you so much, and oh, I want you inside me. And it's about you and me in this moment. And sex is understood as a merger, as a coming together through the sexual act to express an emotional attachment to that specific person, a loving union. That's partner engagement.
And this is perhaps how culture has seen sex, and the one flavor, in a way, that is held up as the ultimate, or the best, the purest, the wholesome.
I think sex. It's the sex Hollywood likes, and that our stories like.
And the religion likes.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Let's put that in the parking lot. All right, so that's partner engagement. The I-thou, gazing in each other's eyes, merging into one. I didn't know where my skin ended and his began, kind of thing. role enactment is, I think, the most misunderstood, because we think of role enactment and we hear role playing. We hear cops and robbers, naughty boss, all of that stuff, the costumery. Let's shift our understanding to role enactment as following a sexual script that is more about performance and enjoying the sex act as kind of a thing two people are doing to create some sort of social meaning between them, right? And so most sex most people have most of the time is sexual role enactment. You're the loving wife and I'm the loving husband, and it's Friday night and we've just had dinner and we're then going to go into bed and we're going to take off our clothes and I'm going to stroke your nipples in such a way that I know you like, and you're going to kiss me here, and then I'm going to do oral sex. We have our scripts that embody our particular roles. That script is really different than I'm a frat guy and you're a hot girl and you've come to my party and I bring you a drink and then we dance and then I touch your butt and then we go upstairs and we fall into bed and we have sex. A different script. And that's a different script than I'm a hot, sexy woman on the town and I've picked you up at the bar and I'm gonna sit on your face and show you how empowered I am and move my hips and I'm wearing certain lingerie. Like, that follows a different script, right? So we have all of these different scripts that mean something socially, and who we believe ourselves to be is very much tied into the sexual scripts we enact with our partners. So it's not about role-playing, it's about embodying certain kinds of sex that mean something about us as a person. So this kind of sex, you're using a lot of different sexual techniques, you focus on kind of the drama of it, you kind of know what your role is within that sex, and you're kind of using your partner to act out that script rather than merging with them in the closest embrace and eye gazing. Like, when you're in partner engagement, it doesn't even really matter what you're doing. You're so lost in that, like, our bodies are coming together. And role enactment's more about, like, get on your hands and knees and I'm going to do you from behind and slap your butt because I know you like that, and that makes you feel a certain way and it makes me feel a certain way. And I've been thinking about a lot of, like, erectile dysfunction through this lens of so much of the disruptive nature of erectile dysfunction comes from what it means about that man and his performance as a sexual being. It's not really about how much blood is in the penis. It's about the social meaning and what that means about his fulfillment of that role. Or if a woman is distracted during receiving oral sex and can't really get into it and can't feel the pleasure of that stimulation because she's worried about her genitals, and does she have an ingrown hair that looks funny, and, like, does her body meet the script, the standard to perform that role of I am a sexy woman able to receive an orgasm from you in this moment?
And that is such an important point, that if you have an idea in your own head about who you would have to be in order to deserve, in order to deserve pleasure or be a sexy woman, and you can never live up to it, then at some level you feel like you are not able to perform the role of a sexy woman.
Right.
And so you're taking yourself out of the picture. You're not letting yourself embody a role because you don't have a picture in your head of you yourself as a sexy woman.
And so you don't go deep in involvement. And let's remember that this framework is all about how deep you can go. So you might be able to have the sex, but how deep you go into the sex, how fulfilling it is, how much pleasure you find there is lessened because your role is disrupted because of these thoughts. Or if you're trying to have the naughty sex you talked about, and somewhere in your head you're like, but this isn't me, I'm a feminist and I shouldn't enjoy spanking. You're not allowing yourself to embody that role and have that kind of sex as fully as you could if you stepped into that role with more confidence. So sexual role enactment is it's kind of about fulfilling the scripts, and sex becomes an adventure, a drama, and the orgasm is kind of part of the expression of that story. It's like the climax to that story, the happily ever after to that specific sexual scenario. Erotic trance is all about an altered state of consciousness, using sex to transport yourself interior into your body to experience sensations and the altered state of consciousness that comes with the focus, the meditation on inward experiences. So again, imagine lying back and receiving oral sex, and you have no inhibitions, and your partner's totally there and giving to you, and you're able to just focus on the sensations and float away for a while, and you kind of forget about your daily to-do list, and the room around you drifts away, and you're just kind of suspended in this state of sensory enjoyment, of pleasure. That's sexual trance. It's a state that I think a lot of us crave. We don't really have a language for it, and so we don't deliberately create the opportunity for erotic trance unless we choose to. And it's one of our favorite states of lovemaking, and we've learned a lot about it, and so we voluntarily, deliberately create this experience. So again, partner engagement, role enactment, erotic trance. Why does this matter? It matters because when you have this vocabulary, it can start aligning your intentions with your partner. And each category, each kind of sex has different skills and different techniques involved to be able to go deeper. And so if you can say to your partner, "It's been a long week, I'm really exhausted, I really just want to have the kind of sex that we get like down and dirty, and I want to be spanked, and I want to have big orgasms, and just do me." Like, you are then in role enactment. You're not looking for this like romantic, beautiful connection and flowers and romance and da da da. You've kind of set your intention. Like, this is what I want done. And that's a different kind of sex than it's our anniversary and I've really been feeling so emotional about time passing and I want to spend lots of time cuddling and slowly easing into sex and talking about our time together and looking each other in the eye and lots of kissing and let's just really celebrate who we are together with some lovemaking. Different kind of sex. Different intentions, different buckets of sexual experience. And when you know the bucket you're both holding, you can go deeper. You both have your intentions, you both have your areas of focus, and you can enjoy that sexual connection a little bit more.
And this is really helpful when one of you is going into one zone and the other one is going into the other zone, because that can be really jarring and confusing, and you can feel like you're not connecting if somebody is really want to be in a role-playing kind of vibe and the other person is going into erotic trance. It's really confusing and it feels like you're not meeting. So I feel like it's such a valuable
emotionally lens. Disruptive one is when one person's looking for partner engagement and the other person is either in erotic trance or the role enactment. And so like you want to like be on all fours and doing it doggy style and getting naughty, and your partner's like, "Look at me and tell me you love me," and you're like, "Fucking just do me." You know, like, or if you're drifting off into trance and your partner is like kissing you and all up in your face and you're just like, that's a distraction right now. And that doesn't mean I love you any less, but you're looking for different experiences, right? It's like if you went on a hike with someone and one person was feeling really chatty and just wanted to like talk and share about their week of work and chatty, chatty, chatty. And the other person's wanting to drift off into the sensation of looking at the birds and be quiet and have a hike be a meditation, those two things are incongruent. So before you set off on the hike, you might say, "Let's talk on the way up the hill, and on the way back, let's be quiet," right? You've set your intention so you can share that experience more fully. And we need this language when it comes to our sex life so we can have the kind of sex we're looking for in any given moment. And when you start really thinking about, and I know this just like flooded you with like a big, heavy theory, like this isn't the easiest information to absorb, so maybe listen to this episode twice. But when you start really using this framework and understanding your motivations to have sex, you can start communicating about what you need in that moment, and then each sexual experience becomes more fulfilling.
I think it's exciting too to notice what you naturally are drawn to, but then also which one do you use less? And so if you are in a space of wanting your sex to feel a bit more exciting and novel, like how do you encourage yourself and your partner to be focusing more on the one kind of sex that you have less of? And it can be like an interesting lens in which to explore, to expand your experience of sex.
And when Mosier references depth of involvement, he's drawing this framework from the hypnosis community, which means how deep into your experience can you go? And it goes from kind of mildly interested to fully ecstatic experience. And he lays out 6 levels of involvement, but you can think of it as a spectrum or a well or a funnel or I don't know, whatever image works for you. But as you're pulled into the sexual experience, especially if you're both on the same page and you're sharing your sexual intention, you can be drawn into deeper levels, and that allows your brain to subjectively experience the physical sensation with more of this interest, excitement, enjoyment, joy framework. He lays this out of like, what makes sex pleasurable? Well, it's excitement and joy. Right, which also can, you know, it's a reflection of the nervous system of that arousal, that excitement, and then the enjoyment, the relaxation, the being awash with kind of the pleasure of sex, right? So it takes both of these kinds of pleasure to make a fulfilling sexual experience. And this is also a useful framework to think about sexual pleasure. The interest going into excitement, the enjoyment going into joy.
I love that as a place to start, because I think so many people feel like they want to be having more sex and they don't necessarily know how to get there. But I think starting from this place of interest and enjoyment feels much more doable. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, let's hang out together and see. This is even with long-term partners. Like, I am interested right now in exploring more and I'm enjoying us hanging out. Like, let's see if we can go to the next level together. Mm-hmm. It feels much less intimidating than we need to start with excitement, which sure. I think is the difference between starting from a place of love than lust. So it feels much more like an easier, authentic entrance point in a long-term relationship. And it's allowing for more of this responsive desire that we've talked about in other podcasts, where for a lot of women, we're not experiencing spontaneous desire where you think, oh my God, I just want to have sex right now. It's more like, oh, let's hang out. Oh, this feels good. Oh, maybe I could be interested in having sex. So it's this slower entrance. And once you start being sexual or affectionate or intimate, that then the desire emerges from that place. And so I just think it's a really gentle but clear framework to understand our desire and where it can come from.
Right. Can my brain interpret the touch you're giving me as interesting?
Like that you're stroking my back or you're stroking my arm or you're kissing my neck. Right.
And interesting just means you turn towards it. Right. It's not an aversion. It's not like a, ugh, don't touch me there. Ugh, not now. That's not the response you're looking for. You're just like, huh, that feels interesting.
Let's do a little more.
What's next? And from that interest, you might start experiencing anticipation, arousal, excitement. And then the joy piece is kind of, can I enjoy that? Can it be interpreted as my brain as something that's giving and loving and coming from a good intention? And then from there, I can enjoy it. It can be a source of pleasure. Right? So it does give you an interesting language, an interesting framework to think about that pleasure cycle and how at all times your brain is interpreting the physical stimulation, which includes all of the sensory experiences around you and your lover's touch primarily. It's interpreting that and translating it for you. And then with that framework, you can start building your pleasure, building your arousal, going deeper into your sexual experience. If you know what your intention is and where you're going, which is what these 3 buckets give you, the partner engagement, role enactment, erotic trance. So he talks about the depths of involvement with this language. He talks about it going from disinterested to casual to routine to engrossed to entranced to ecstatic. I'll say that again. Disinterested, could take it or leave it. I should do the dishes. Casual. This feels kind of nice. Yeah, okay. routine. Oh, we're doing this. All right. We're kind of getting into it. Engrossed. Don't stop now. Entranced. This is everything. Ecstatic. My mind is blown.
So this, but talking about when you're having sex, experiencing this as a, that there's some kind of linear progression, yes, of how deeply you are involved in the experience.
Right.
And I think this is really valuable and important because I think we all know this difference when sometimes you're having incredible sex and sometimes you're having kind of boring, okay, fine sex. But what's the difference? It's that you are experiencing it so differently. You're more engaged in your mind, in your body, in the sensations. And I think this is really fascinating because it's a skill. Like, how can we, as a couple and as individuals, allow ourselves to deepen into the experience and let ourselves drift or engage from routine to engrossed? Like, that's a really different experience, yeah, of your sex. And if each time you can kind of get yourself a little bit deeper, you're going to have a much more satisfying sex life over time.
And sometimes I think about the cell phone test. So if your cell phone was to ring in the other room and you were casually involved, you were kind of at the level 2 engagement, you might be like, who's calling? Oh, and I think that might be my cousin. Oh, and we're talking about the birthday party. And like, that's the distraction.
In your head while you're having, right, sex. Right. Yeah.
If you're disinterested, you might go and be like, stop what you're doing. I got to go get that call. Uh-huh. If you're casual, you'd be like, I wonder who's calling. If you're engrossed or entranced, if you're at that level 4, 5, 6 of sex, you don't even hear the cell phone.
Right.
Who cares? Or it becomes like a little like twirling audio thing in your perception, but it's just like you're so deep in the experience, like it's out there somewhere and you are in the experience. And I think we have so many distractions in our culture and we kind of have such a distracted life. So many of us are trying to have sex in this like disinterested, casual, and maybe routine,
yeah,
mode that we need to go deeper. This is one of the fundamental skills.
So this is where I find this is where I find that I need to take warm up before I even get to bed with somebody, because with you, sorry, not somebody at this point in my life. Because otherwise life is so distracting if I don't take the time to get deeper into the sensations of my body with a shower, with some yoga, with some dance before I have sex. I'll start at more like casual.
But this is because you're in the erotic trance zone.
That's because I love going to erotic trance. Right.
So the preparation for erotic trance for you is focusing inward, focusing on your body, relaxing your body. You're preparing and you are actually going deeper into the erotic experience before we even start.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
If we were doing partner engagement sex,
uh-huh,
it would be dinner and talking,
right,
going for a walk together, giving each other a massage where we're like really communicating, right, our love. And I give you massage differently,
uh-huh,
if we're in partner engagement than if we're in erotic trance.
Mm-hmm. Based on your communication and the kind of touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even just the intention is through my hands differently. If we're doing partner engagement, I might lean down and like kiss you in a trail from your shoulder to your neck and say something nice in your ear. I might push more of my body into you, right? Like I make you feel me. If I'm preparing you for erotic trance through massage, yeah, I'm actually a little bit back. It's all about the touch. I'm really focusing on ushering you into this experience. I won't lean in and kiss you at all because that would be a distraction.
Thanks.
Yeah, right? And so this is where knowing the intention, knowing the focus changes the way you touch, it changes the behaviors, it changes the techniques.
Right.
So I think we've given you enough for now. You have more you want to say.
I just think it's fascinating just for each of us to know that it takes something to get from our world of distraction into having sex. Like, it's just hard to go from A to B.
Right.
So I think just...
What would the preparation for a role enactment be? I think this is, you know, we don't have a lot of role enactment sex, but I don't want to ignore it because,
yeah,
it's big for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that's more like shaving your legs, putting on makeup, putting on certain kind of lingerie,
right,
at a minimum, putting on certain kind of music.
Or like even going to the gym and pumping iron and like feeling bulked up a little bit. Or it's so much about kind of preparing yourself to fully embody that role and knowing which role you're going for.
Yeah.
And this kind of brings us back to the kinky course and getting really specific with the kind of sex you want to be having and the roles you're playing for each other. Because that can be great hot sex. And that's actually where you find a lot of novelty in long-term relationships.
Totally.
So having those conversations, and if it helps you to think about the archetypical roles of like naughty secretary boss, you can go there and use that as a template, because those are different kinds of embodiment of sexual energy. But if you really think about what is the script we're looking to play out together, what is the goal of this sex? Are you wanting to feel beautiful? Are you wanting to feel naughty? Are you wanting to feel
in control?
Wild? Are you wanting to feel tender? Like, what is the quality of sex you're going for? And then how do we physically embody those roles with more confidence? Then you'll go deeper. Okay. I think we've given you enough. We hope you find this as fascinating and useful as we do. I've been using this template for 12, 13 years, and I always return to it. So have this conversation with your partner. Listen to this podcast episode together. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and find this podcast page in the podcast archive, and I will link to Mosier's article so you can read it and geek out if you want. And provide some language for you and some questions and some ideas for how to get this conversation started. We really hope these podcasts are just the start of your conversations and lines of inquiry in your life, and that, yeah, we plant some seeds that will grow into beautiful, sexy trees for you. Okay. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, check out our full podcast archive, sign up for our free mini course at pleasuremechanics.com/free. And when you are ready to master new erotic skills, like that couples massage I was just talking about, it's the foundation of our erotic relationship and can be for you too, check out our online courses where we show you all of the techniques you can use to have an amazing, fabulous sex life. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the course of your choice. We will be back next week with a new podcast episode. I am Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.